And I want to try to help the church. The order of the pastor is to teach and to preach the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And you know that we've started Sunday school now. We've been going through the Baptist history. And within Baptist history, we've opened up some cans of worms, as somebody called it the other day. And that's okay. I'm glad when people ask questions. It's been my thought since we started, and I've tried to teach the church that what Peter said, that we ought to have an answer for every man. We ought to be able to answer when they asked us the question. And I was questioned on Sunday about something, and I tried to give a short answer, and I didn't have time to get in to a long answer. So tonight I want to help you with that. Now I know we've been talking about the tabernacle. We've been going through the tabernacle and different aspects of that, and how all that points to Christ. And we'll get back to some of that, but as the Lord begins to open doors and lead us in different directions and people ask questions, I want to deal with that as it comes. I could have put this off to a later time. I struggled with that myself, whether I should do it now or later. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow, so let's do it now. Amen. And so we're going to do that. So tonight, I hope you brought your Bibles because we're going to use them. There was a question asked the other day about Jesus drinking alcoholic wine. And did Jesus actually drink that wine? And some folks think that Jesus did drink that wine. They think in John chapter number 2 that Jesus, the Bible says, turned the water into wine. And it was alcoholic wine and everybody partied and had a good time. That's the thoughts of the world. Amen. That's the thoughts of our society. That is false religion. That's false teaching, false doctrine. And the Bible does not teach that. There's several places in the Scripture that we can look when it deals with wine, and I want to look at those tonight, try to help you understand. If somebody comes to you and asks you, did Jesus drink wine after tonight, hopefully, prayerfully, if you'll pay attention, you can say, absolutely not. And you can give them Bible verses, and I'll show you 10 things, Lord willing. I don't have it. Well, I've got all night. I don't have to work tomorrow. I've got plenty of time. I don't know how. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. We'll see how far we get tonight. But I want to try to help you tonight. Amen. And looking at, there's two different types of wines. When you talk about the wines of the Bible, you have to understand the culture that they was in, the time frame that you're talking about. You're not talking about America's wine. If you leave grape juice alone and let it sit, then it'll ferment and it'll become wine. That's a lie. It does not happen. Will not happen that way. If you leave it by itself in the right temperature, it will become vinegar. And then you will have to pour it out because you can't drink it. All right? But that's just some of the things that's been taught down through the years. Some people think that the Bible says, because the Bible says a little wine for the stomach's sake, that it's okay to drink wine for your stomach if you're sick. That is another lie of the devil. The Bible teaches us, and I'm going to show you these scriptures, the Bible teaches us that strong drink, wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 1. So wine is a deceiver. A lot of folks are deceived by the devil and thinking it's okay. It doesn't take but one sip for somebody, not everybody, but somebody. All it takes is one sip. They'll be hooked on wine. Wouldn't it be a sad situation? I know churches that have fermented wine in their communion services, and they pass out the plates, and you can smell it. So if even the smell makes me sick. You can smell it, and they give out fermented wine, and they have the Lord's Supper in the church. Would it be a sad situation to know that somebody sat in the services at the church house, the house of God, they sat in the services there and tasted for the first time fermented wine and ended up in an alcoholic's grave because they went down that road? Wouldn't that be sad that they got their first taste at the house of God? That'd be terrible. Now, as we study the Scriptures tonight, I want you to understand with me there's two types of wine. There's the non-alcoholic, which is the grape juice, the fruit of the vine, the new wine, and there is the alcoholic wine. As you study the Scriptures, everywhere that God speaks about alcoholic wine, where it's fermented wine, everywhere He speaks of that in the Scriptures, there is always a warning to go with it. Is everybody with me? Everywhere in the Scriptures that you look at fermented wine, alcoholic wine, there is always a warning that goes with it. If it's not alcoholic wine, it doesn't come with a warning. Okay? Everybody with me? Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter number 11. We're going to look there to start with, Deuteronomy chapter number 11. I have a few verses of scriptures I want you to look with me at, and we'll try to go through these. And I don't know, again, how far we'll get, but I want to educate the church. That's my job as pastor. Amen. And I spent some time in a motel room yesterday and last night. And I began to work on this and study this and try to pull some things together. And man, I was reading some articles, Brother Clinton, on the internet. I pulled it up on how to make wines and stuff like that. And they took it back all the way to the 1600s and maybe even a little further back than that. And they laid that thing out there somewhere. They've done some studying on how that stuff is fermented and all the organisms and everything that comes together and how that some of that stuff blowed my mind. I couldn't pronounce half of them words. It must have been a doctor. Had to have been. Amen, because he's all these big words they use. But they explained that stuff down and how it came about in this century and this place. And it's just amazing if you study it. And, of course, I don't have all that information tonight, and I didn't memorize it all. Brother Clinton had read it. He could have told you everything you read. Say amen right there. Amen. All right. He has a photographic memory, in case y'all didn't know that. He's very smart. And amen, the Lord has blessed him. He's not blessed me with that photographic memory. I've got one of those that's just the opposite of that. I can read it, and 10 minutes later, can't tell you what it's saying. All right. So anyway, we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Deuteronomy chapter number 11, verse number 14. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 14. The Bible says that I will give you the rain of your land in its due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Notice in this verse of Scripture, there's no warning with the wine that's mentioned. That I will give you the rain of your land in due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Here he's not talking about fermented wine. He's talking about the grapes of the vine. Amen? Because there's no warning there. Go with me. 2 Chronicles chapter number 31. 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse number 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse number 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse number 5. The Bible says in verse number 5, and as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance their first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. There again is the word wine mentioned, and it's no warning with that word. It's talking about the corn, the wine, the oil, the honey, and all the increase of the field. Where did the wine come from? What wine is it talking about? It's talking about the grapes of the vine. It's talking about grapes, okay? Go with me. Nehemiah chapter 13. This is good Bible study night. Nehemiah chapter number 13. Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse number 15. Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse number 15. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and laden asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There, in verse number 15, we see that there are things that were brought in, and there's no warning in this verse of Scripture. There's no warning about the wine that is mentioned. Okay? Now I want you to go with me to the book of Proverbs. We're going to hang around Proverbs for just a few minutes. Okay? So we can relax a little bit and not have to flip too much more. Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 10. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 10, So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. There's new wine mentioned, which is grape juice, again, because there's no warning with it. Write this down. If you're taking notes, write this down. Isaiah chapter 16, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 16, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 8. A couple more verses you can look at in the Scripture. Also in 1 Timothy chapter number 5, verse 23, a little line for the stomach's sake. There's not a warning there. There's not a warning there when it mentions that wine. If you study grape juice and juices, just juices in general, the juices are better for you. My mother and I have been blackberry picking. And we did that whenever we had the girls home. And we'd go pick blackberries, and we found out that blackberry juice is actually better for you than grape juice when it comes to a sick stomach. And I guarantee it because I've tried it. You have a sick stomach, you don't feel good, you take a little shot of blackberry juice, just straight blackberry juice, and you add sugar to it to sweeten it up. If you can handle it, drinking it without sugar, more power to you. But I had to put a little sugar in mine because it's pretty bitter. But that's the best thing for a sick stomach. Now, if you study the juices, you'll find that juice is better for a sick stomach than the wine that society teaches that's better for you. All right? Now, the Bible teaches us several things. Go with me to the book of Proverbs chapter number 23. Proverbs chapter number 23. We'll hang out there for just a minute. Alcoholic wine is always referred to in the Bible with warnings, and God always discusses the bad effects in each case. When we're dealing with alcoholic wine, you remember in Genesis chapter number 9, Noah was drunken. You remember that?
Yeah.
Y'all remember? If you don't, now we'll go there and look. Do y'all remember? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Noah was drunk. The Bible says that Noah being drunken with wine, that clearly refers to alcoholic beverage. He was drunken with it. He was in a drunken stupor. Okay. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 30. The Bible says in verse 30, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine, here is dealing with different types of people. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red in its cup, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Watch what he says. He's talking about wine now. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. He's talking about alcoholic wine. He's talking about the wine and those that seek the wine, those that tarry long at the wine. And it gives a warning to what is the outcome. At the last, it stingeth like, Verse 32, at the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. All right, we're going to look in that for just a little bit more. Back at the verse number 29. He's asking the question in the book of Proverbs, says, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Imagine that. Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Then he answers the questions. Who has all these things? Well, here's the answer. They that tarry long at the wine. They that go seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, at the last it biteth like a serpent, stingeth like an adder. Who's got sorrow? Who's got woe? Who's got contention? Who's got problems without a cause? Or trouble without a cause? Those drunks. Those drunkards that drank the mixed wine or drank the wine. They've got woe. They've got sorrow. You can't tell me that most people you ask any wino, they'll tell you. If they get hooked on that stuff, it causes problems. It causes sorrows. It causes them to have woe and problems without a cause. Amen? Now, y'all know that to be true. I don't have to get too deep in that. You know that's the truth. And the context always makes it clear when God is given the warning about whether it's alcoholic wine or non-alcoholic. Okay? In the context, if you read it, it always makes it clear what wine is talking about. Now, stay with me. We're going somewhere, okay? Is everybody all right?
Yeah.
When alcohol is meant in the context, when it's meant to be alcoholic, you'll always find it within the context. Here, he's talking about the woe and the sorrow and the contentions and the babbling. How many of you ever seen a wino or somebody get intoxicated? They get to flapping those gums, man. I'm telling you what's the truth. It's unreal. They'll say stuff that tomorrow you ask them, but hey, you remember what you said? And they won't have a clue what they said. I had a guy come to my house one time. We had the girls' home ministry, and my next door neighbor, whose dad, come over, and I could tell he'd been drinking. And I have a hard time with that stuff. Hey, man, I'm not very tolerant, especially when you come into my house that way. And he come in, and his mouth was uncontrollable. And he said something to my wife, and offered her $100 to go buy her dress. And I said, buddy, I want to tell you something. I said, I appreciate you coming over to visit. I said, but you need to take your wallet and your money and yourself right back out that door that you came in, because that's my wife. And the next day when I saw him, he was just like nothing ever happened. Didn't he realize he had done that? And whenever I confronted him, I said, you remember what you said yesterday? He said, I don't have a clue. He left the $100. He wouldn't take the $100. And I told my wife, I said, we'll take it and spend it on something, but you ain't buying no dress. I mean, he was just that way, and he didn't remember. I guarantee when he woke up the next morning, he was wondering where the $100 went. People do that. Amen. It leaves them babbling. Who's got woe? Who's got sorrow? Who's got contention? Who's got problems without a cause? Those that seek the wine, those that stay after that and look for that. Amen. They have problems. Amen. All right. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
We're having a good time tonight. I love Bible study. Bible study is just awesome. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 32. Again, at the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Look with me in verse 33. The Bible says in verse 33, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. What happened? I just told you about my neighbor, didn't I? And what happened? The very same thing the Bible says. His eyes begin to look at somebody else's wife. Amen? His eyes begin to look at strange women, and his heart or his mouth begin to utter perverse things. Said things that he shouldn't have said. That's what takes place. That's what happens. They look at women. They say things that they shouldn't say. Amen?
Right.
And they say things that they wouldn't say if they were sober.
Right.
The Bible says, be not drunk with wine where it is in excess. That wine, there, those scriptures, is talking about drinking wine when it's in excess to make you do things that you normally wouldn't do. Because the scripture says in the book of Ephesians, be not drunk with wine where it is in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
The Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Whenever you get full of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, you'll say things that you normally wouldn't say. Amen. You'll do things that you normally would not do. If you're full of the Holy Ghost and the Lord begins to move, you'll run a lap. Amen. You'll walk pews like this crazy preacher does every once in a while. If the Holy Spirit, if you're full of the Holy Spirit, you'll do things that you normally wouldn't do. That's why the Scripture is relating that to wine. Because people do things they normally wouldn't do when they're intoxicated with wine. All right, moving right along. Verse 34, the Bible says there in Proverbs 23, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. Here we're looking at the Scripture predicts it will cause death such as drowning. Thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or one that drowns. Amen? A lot of times people get so intoxicated and things happen, they end up losing their life, whether they drowned or whatever. And we see here that the Bible is predicting those things, and such as drowning or loneliness. It says, or as he that lieth upon the top of the mast, or one that is lonely, he's looking for some companionship because he's lonely in the state of drunkenness that he's in. Most of the time, people don't want to drink alone. They want to drag somebody with them.
Right.
Hello, Tokyo. That's right. They don't want to do it alone. They want somebody else to be there with them because they get lonely. The more they drink, the lonelier they get. Did you know that alcohol is a depressant, not a stimulant?
Right.
Hello, Tokyo. We're having a good educational night tonight, aren't we? Alcohol is a depressant. It depresses people. They drink that stuff to lose their sorrows and to drown their sorrows, but it only causes sorrows.
Right.
All right, verse 35, the Bible said, they that stricken me shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. In verse 35, it warns of the numbness and the addiction of the alcohol. It is a drug. Amen? Everybody agree with that? It is a drug. It is addicting. And the Bible warns of the numbness. Notice there he said that they have stricken me, thou shalt say that I was not sick, and they have beaten me, and I felt it not. He was plumb numb. He'd drunk so much he was numb. The old timers used to talk about the moonshine and stuff they used for antifreeze. They drank so much of it that they didn't get cold because they was numb. The alcohol made them numb. And the Bible warns of that, that it would make them numb, but they could be beaten and not even feel it. Then he says here, look with me again in verse 35. He says, when shall I wake? I will seek it yet again. It's addicting. It's addicting. They can't get enough. Once they get over it, they sober up, man, they go right back at it again. It's addicting. Amen? The Bible warns of that. Anytime the Bible talks about alcoholic wine, it's always giving a warning. All right? Y'all with me? Go with Proverbs chapter 31. We're going somewhere. Just hang on. Stay with me. Proverbs chapter 31. It ain't 8:30 yet. We still got plenty of time. Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 4. Proverbs, now listen, I want you to get your pens out and I want you to mark this in your Bible. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 4 and 5. This is very important. We're going to come back to this in just a minute, but I want to read it to you right now and I want to try to help you. All right? Proverbs 31, verse 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel or Lemuel or however you want to pronounce his name. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him, verse number 6. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink, forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. The next thing you're going to ask me, Mr. Preacher, what does that verse number 6 mean, give strong drink? What does that mean? That means the Bible is telling us to give strong drink. No, hold on. In the time era that this was written, they didn't have the anesthetics that we have today. They didn't have those things. Notice what the Bible says. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish. He's on his deathbed. He's ready to die. And he's in pain and he has a heavy heart. And it says, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink, forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. He's on his deathbed. He's about ready to die. There's nothing else we can give him in this time era. There's nothing else we can give him to ease his pain. Give him some strong drink. Give him some wine to ease his pain. That's as an anesthetic. We don't need that in these days. Amen? We've got enough anesthetics now. It's unreal. Brother Mike had some stuff whenever he had his heart surgery that took him through two other worlds. I'm talking some strong stuff. And listen, we don't need that. Amen? We don't need wine for an anesthetic. And it's only to those that are about to die. That's the only one that it's talking to. It's not talking about the party crowd and everything else. Now, notice with me, if you would, verse 4 and 5 talks about the danger. The danger in this wine. Verse 4, it's not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Why? Lest they drink and forget the law. There's your danger. It's obvious. Lest they drink, forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. There's the warning. If they drink, it's alcoholic, and it causes them to forget the law, causes them to pervert their judgment. I was watching the news this morning, and it was the craziest thing in the world. I just couldn't believe it. I was just sitting there thinking, what were people thinking? A driver's ed teacher was caught on her way to take kids to teach them driver's ed. She was pulled over because she was swerving in a driver's ed car, and they pulled her over, and she blowed a 1.8 on the stinking scale for being an alcoholic. Or for alcohol, whatever. And she was drunk. Going to take the kids to for driver safety. No doubt they arrested her, took her license away from her, and I hope they throwed the book at her. Amen? What kind of person would do something like that? Hey, no doubt she was not thinking straight. Her judgment was perverted. Amen? She wasn't thinking straight. She had strong drink, and it was messing with her thinking. She forgot the law. The law says don't drink and drive. Here's your sign. We'll stand at the other side of the road and say, simple. I about said that other word. Simple. Listen, the Bible teaches us not to drink that, all right? Here we see the dangers in verse 4 and 5 of Proverbs. Now, I want you to underline that for a reason. We're going to come back to that in just a minute, all right? Verse 4 again is, not for kings to drink wine, nor princes strong drink, lest they drink, forget the law, pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11. Let me read it to you real quickly. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11. The Bible says, woe unto them. Hold on, let me flip over there. You don't have to flip, I'm going to read it to you. Isaiah chapter number 5. I didn't write the whole verse down, so let me flip over there and do that. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink and continue until night, till wine inflame them. Verse 12 says, the harp and the vial, I don't know how you say that. I think it's talking about maybe a violin. The tabret, the pipe, and wine are in their feast. Notice this. It says, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink and continue until night, till wine inflame them. Verse 12 says, they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. There's a woe on everyone that drinketh strong drink. Amen?
Yeah.
There's a woe. The Bible says here that they drink it until it inflames them. I looked that word up. What does the word inflames mean? It means to heat or to excite excessive action in the blood, to provoke, to anger, or to irritate. They drink it until it drives them to do things that they normally wouldn't do. It drives them, it inflames them, and they drink it until it moves them to doing things that they normally wouldn't do. And then the Bible says there in Isaiah that they regard not the work of the Lord. The things they do is not, they're not considering the Lord. They're not even thinking about the Lord. Amen? They get in that state. They don't care about the Lord or the church or their character or their reputation. They don't care about none of that. Amen. The Bible says they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. Isaiah chapter number 28, verse 7 and 8 continues with warnings. I'm not going to read all that. Write that down. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 7 and 8 continues with the warnings. The making of the alcoholic beverage is not strictly a natural process. It takes water, sugar, and temperature at the right amounts to make wine. Most old-timers can tell you, and I don't mean any disrespect when I say old-timers, but older folks, amen, older than me. they can tell you how to make wine. My grandma and grandpa's could probably tell you how to make wine. Some of you in here have probably experienced making some of that stuff. But anyway, let's don't get into that, amen. But listen, there's a process, and several folks know that process. I believe my great aunt or uncle or something like that, mother said the other day, somebody in my family used to make wine, and she's seen it done. She knows how it's done. And you have to have water and sugar and the right temperature in order for it to ferment. Doesn't do it on its own. Okay? Those that say that it ferments on its own is only lying and exaggerating because it does not do that. It takes water, it takes sugar. Man has to do something to the juice to make it fermented. Man has learned how to do that. Okay, God never intended for man to do such a thing, but man does. All right. Takes water, sugar, and the right temperature. The sugar and temperature works the fermentation process. Like I said, I read some things on the internet, and you can get real deep in that, but I'm not going to get real deep in that for the sake of time and the sake of my mind. I'm not going to go that way. Amen. It takes sugar and water to work the fermentation process. That's as far as I want to go. Amen. I don't want to get that deep in it. Now, I want to give you tonight real quickly. I've wrote down 10 things that the Scripture says, 10 proofs in the Scriptures that Jesus did not drink wine in John chapter number 2.
Amen.
All right? I'm going to give you 10 things real quickly, as quick as I can. I'll try to give them to you. We may be here to midnight, but it'll be quick. I promise. It'll go by. You won't even realize. 10 proofs that Jesus did not drink or make alcoholic wine. He did not drink it, and He did not make it. Okay? First of all, it's because of His holy nature. Because of His holy nature. Amen? Let me give you some Scripture. The book of Hebrews chapter number 7. Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 6. But he whose the sin is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him. Wait a minute, that ain't the right verse. Hold on a minute. Hey. I've done lost myself. Give me a second. What did you say? Yeah, verse 5. Verily I say that they are the sons of Levi who receive the office of priesthood of commandment, take tithes of people according to the laws, brethren through... No, that ain't it either. Yes, where is that? 25. 26. Yes, thank you very much. It's 26. I left my 2 out. How about that? Y'all ain't never done nothing like that, have you? I told you, I was sitting in a motel room when I was trying to do this. Verse 26. Chapter 7, verse 26. Verse 26, for such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Talking about Christ, His holy character. His holy nature. He's holy in His appearance. He's holy in His speech. He was holy in His character. All right? His holy nature. There's one reason why He never created or drank, never made or drank alcoholic wine, because of His holy nature. All right? Verse 26, Hebrews chapter 7. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. All right? Sorry about that little typo or writo. Anyway, He would not contradict Scripture, number 2. He would not contradict Scripture. That was one of my answers I tried to give on Sunday morning, that Jesus would never contradict the Scriptures. They say that He turned the water into wine and they drank, and He drank wine. He would never contradict the Scriptures. Amen? The Word of God is settled forever in heaven. Amen? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit wrote the Word of God, and Jesus would never go against the Word of God, neither contradict the Scriptures. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. The Bible says, think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, with that verse of Scripture, and remember what we've read already about the wines and the warnings and the deception and the destruction that comes along with it. Jesus said, I've not come to destroy. All right? I've not come to destroy, but I've come to fulfill the law. I'm not here to destroy people. I come to fulfill the law. What does wine, alcoholic beverages, what does it do? It destroys. It deceives. Amen. He said, I didn't come to do that. I come to fulfill the law. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15. Let me read you Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15. Write that down. You'll need to know that too. That's a very good verse of Scripture. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Jesus said, I've not come to destroy, I've come to fulfill the law. Because He would not contradict Scripture, He never made or distributed or drank alcoholic wine. Because the Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor strong drink, or give him drink that put a bottle to him and maketh him drunk. So He wouldn't contradict Scripture. All right? He didn't come to violate the Scripture. He came to fulfill the Scripture. All right? He could not have done that, fulfilled the Scripture, if He had made alcoholic wine and gave it to his neighbor. Everybody with me? He couldn't have fulfilled Scripture if he'd made alcoholic wine and gave it to his neighbor. The Scriptures also command, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, the Bible says, abstain from the appearance of evil. Jesus came to fulfill the Scriptures. Abstain from the appearance of evil. All right? He would not contradict Scripture. Number 3, I'm hurrying. Number 3, because in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 9 through 11, commands that the priest of God not to drink wine or strong drink. Leviticus, let me give that to you again, chapter number 10. Leviticus chapter number 10. Verse number 9. Leviticus chapter 10, verse number 9. Do not drink wine nor strong drink. Let me back up. Let me just read verse number 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, which was the priest. All right. Aaron and his sons were to work in the tabernacle. We talked about that already. Aaron and his sons. The Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, drink not wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. They were forbidden to drink strong drink. Is everybody with me?
Yes.
Go into the tabernacle, you'll die. Tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that you may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. Boy, we'll write that down shallow while right there. Amen. God just laid out the scriptures right there. You separate between holy and unholy, clean and unclean. Amen. There's a difference. Then he says in verse number 11, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Here the Bible plainly says in Leviticus chapter number 10, verse 9-11, it commands the priest not to drink wine or strong drink. Not to do that. There's a difference. They got to set a difference between holy and unholy, clean and unclean. All right. Then there's to teach. The priests were to teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord had spoken unto him by the hand of Moses. That was their duty. That was their job. And to stay away from strong drink. Drink not strong drink. Is everybody with me? You got that? Yeah. Now, we're still going somewhere. We ain't got to the punchline yet. It gets gooder and gooder as we go. All right. Hey, listen, the Bible here says in Leviticus for the priest not to drink strong drink. Habakkuk chapter number 2. Let me get back over there real quickly. Hang with me. Habakkuk chapter number 2. I want you to see verse number 17. Hold on now. Just right there. I know it's here. There you go, Habakkuk. I see you hiding in there. Habakkuk's trying to hide from me. Chapter number 2 of Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 17. Here the Bible says, for the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of beasts, which made them afraid because of men's blood, for in the violence of the land and the city. And that doesn't go with what I wrote down either. A merciful and faithful priest. I must have forgot a 2 or put a 1 in there or something. I don't know what I did. But in the book of Habakkuk, chapter number 2, he calls him a faithful priest. Clinton, where you at? Huh? He's asleep. Well, anyway, it's there because I read it. I know it. I saw it. All right. Anyway, I don't want to get off track. Let's stay with me. Okay. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 9 through 11 commands that a priest of God not to drink wine or strong drink. All right. Christ would have disobeyed these verses and would have been disqualified to teach the children of Israel had he had made or drank alcoholic wine. All right. Is everybody with me? He would have disobeyed these verses of Scripture if he had disobeyed these verses of Scripture, he'd been disqualified from teaching the children of Israel. Their job as priests was to teach the statutes of the Lord to the children of Israel. He would have been disqualified had he drank or made alcoholic wine. All right, number 4, Proverbs. Go with me back to Proverbs. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Okay. This is Bible lesson 101 on alcoholic wine. Why the Bible says why not to drink it, what the Bible says about it. Amen. Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 4 and 5. I told you we'd come back to this. The Bible here says, "For it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink, forget the law, pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted." Why did Jesus not make or drink alcoholic wine? Reason number 4, because Proverbs chapter 31, verse 4 and 5 prohibits kings and princes from drinking alcoholic wine or any other strong drink. If they'd done so, their judgment would have been perverted. Now, kings and princes were not to drink strong drink. Is that not what the Scripture said? Everybody with me? All right. Isaiah chapter number 9, verse 6, what is Christ called? In Isaiah chapter number 9, you hear it all the time quoted at Christmas time. What is he called? He's a Prince of Peace. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, he's King of Kings. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 27, verse 11, he's King of the Jews. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, prophecy was given that Israel's king would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey's colt, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem that very way, Matthew chapter 27, verse 4 through 11. That Israel's king would come riding in on a donkey's colt. And how did Jesus come into town? Jerusalem's king, amen, came into town. He's the king of Israel, amen. He was a king, and he had to obey Proverbs chapter 31, verse 4 and 5. There is absolutely no way Jesus made or drank alcoholic wine because he was a priest and he was a king and he would not contradict Scripture. And Scripture says for kings and priests not to drink strong drink.
Amen.
Amen. That's good. That's only number 4. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. All right? Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. What does the Bible say there about that wine? It's a mocker. It's a mocker and it deceives. Christ didn't come to mock and to deceive. What did Christ come to do? Luke chapter 19, verse number 10. What did he come to do?
Fulfill.
Seek and to save.
Die for our sins.
That's right. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Christ didn't come to mock and to deceive. Wine mocks and deceives, going to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 1. It's a mocker and it deceives. It's whoever's deceived thereby is not wise. He didn't come to mock and deceive, but he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Reason number 5. Christ didn't come to send people to hell, neither. As Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11 through 14, you read there, the Bible says that hell hath enlarged herself. I'll tell you what we're doing. Let me just pull over there in Isaiah chapter number 5. I want to read that to you. Isaiah chapter number 5. Isaiah chapter number 5, verse number 11.
I'm excited that I don't have to go to hell.
Amen, I am too. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11. Woe to them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. We've read this already. Verse 12, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. Verse 13, therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself, and opened her mouth without measure, and the glory and the multitude and the pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. Here the Bible is speaking of wine. Woe unto them that are inflamed with wine, and drank the wine, and continue until night with the wine. They regard not the work of the Lord, and the Bible says hell hath enlarged herself because of this crowd that is seeking that alcoholic beverage. Isn't that amazing? Ain't that strong stuff? Hey, listen, the Bible tells us plainly. Hell hath enlarged herself. We use that verse of Scripture a lot, talking about people dying and going to hell. The reason the Scripture gives is because of strong drink. And being drunk and seeking that. You know, the advertisers don't tell you, they don't show you, whenever they are talking about the alcohol and the beer and the wine, and all, they don't tell you all the accidents that happen. They don't show you on the billboards all the people that die and lose their life and go into a devil's hell because of all that drinking that they've done. They don't show you that stuff. They show you the glamour of it. Try to get you enticed and drawn into it. Amen? They don't show you all that. Here the Scripture says that hell hath enlarged herself and opened up her mouth without measure because of those that have drank and gotten drunk and gotten overtaken with that wine and that strong drink. Christ didn't come to send people to hell. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen?
Right.
Hallelujah. He never made or drank alcoholic wine. number 7. Because Christ didn't cast the stumbling block before anyone. Romans chapter number 14. Romans chapter number 14. That'd be in the New Testament. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 21. Romans chapter 14, verse 21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Now, some people is going to take that verse of Scripture and say, well, if I don't drink in front of nobody, they're not going to know, so they won't stumble. They're going to twist the Scriptures to make it fit their agenda. And that happens a lot. But the Bible says strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived by those not wise. Right? Here we see that if it's a stumbling block, anything we do that is a stumbling block, and Christ would have never cast a stumbling block before anybody. He had holy character, holy speech, holy in his appearance. Everything about him was holy. Amen? So 100% God, 100% man, but he was sinless. So therefore, he would not have cast a stumbling block before others. Now, go with me to John chapter number 2. This is what we were talking about to begin with in John chapter number 2. This is where a lot of the controversy comes from when it comes to drinking wine and wines of the Bible. In John chapter number 2. Because wine of John chapter number 2 was not required to be alcoholic. John chapter number 2, the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee and the mother of Jesus there. Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, Mother Jesus said unto them, they have no wine. Now, stop right there and let's think about that for just a minute. They're at the party, they're at the marriage, they're there at Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples, they was called to come to the marriage. Well, there's a whole crowd that's already there, and the Bible says, and they wanted wine, they'd already been drinking. They've already been enjoying the juices. They wanted some more. They've already drunk a bunch of it. And he says, and the mother of Jesus said to them, hey, don't have any. There is none. You guys have drunk it all. You've enjoyed the juice and there's none left. Here she says in verse 4, Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear it to the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. Be careful now, stay with me, watch your Bibles. Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine at the marriage. Every man at the beginning of the marriage, they set forth good wine. It's what the Bible is saying. Okay, is everybody with me? Verse number 10, is everybody there?
Amen.
I got one amen. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Okay, thank you. He saith unto him, every man at the beginning to set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, doesn't say when they're drunk, but when they have well drunk. All right? Then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine till now.
Hallelujah.
This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. What is taking place here is a simple thing. It did not require alcoholic wine. The wine that was given before, they're saying that the wine that they received next tasted better than what they had before. It was a custom to give the best first, because if they drank alcoholic wine, they'd get drunk. And by the time the bad stuff come around, they couldn't taste it anyway. Here in the Scriptures, they've already drank the juice that was given at the marriage.
Amen.
And they ran out. And then Jesus turns the water into wine. And they said it's better than the stuff we drank to start with. You saved the best for last. Now, had they had been drunk off the wine, they would not have known that it tasted better than what they had the first time.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. It's just that simple. Amen. If they had been drunk, they would have not have known that that stuff they was drinking last was better than what they had the first time.
Glory
doesn't stop there, though. Watch what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 11, this beginning of miracles is Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth His glory. Had He made the water turn to alcoholic wine, He would have added to the drunken stupor of the people at the wedding, and He would have not brought glory to Himself.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
Isn't it awesome when the Bible just lights up and turns on for you? Amen? Had He have made alcoholic wine and served wine to a bunch of... I mean, they had already drank what was there. They would have been... They've been drunk already, or possibly... Amen. Almost drunk. Maybe not quite, but almost. And if He'd have turned the water into wine, to alcoholic wine, He'd have finished off that crowd that was almost drunk and made them completely drunk. And that crowd that wasn't quite drunk, they would have been intoxicated enough to be whatever. And it would not have brought glory to Christ. Here He says, with this miracle, He manifested forth His glory. He did this, changed the water into wine, and the wine of the second batch was better than the first batch, and He brings glory to Himself.
That's right.
Amen? Now, it does not, doesn't stop there. Watch what the Bible says in verse number 11. And His disciples believed on Him. The disciples was already believing in Jesus. They already believed in Him. But here the Bible says, after this miracle, it manifested His glory, and they believed on Him even more after this miracle that He performed. Had He increased the drunkenness of the marriage, no doubt, no brainer, it wouldn't have, the disciples wouldn't have wanted to follow Him even more. They'd have thought, who is this guy? Well, He ain't no better than anybody else. But yet He manifested His glory, and the Bible says His disciples believed on Him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. This is good stuff.
Amen. I would drink some of that wine.
Yeah, I would too. It wasn't the best wine first, then the worst later after men's tastes were dull, but just the opposite. Now, I'm not going to read all those notes. I done went through all that. Amen. Number 9. I'm almost done. It ain't 9 o'clock yet. I got to 9 o'clock anyway. Because I started late. Amen. Number 9, because the Lord would not have gotten glory from making drunk people drunker. We already talked about that. Hey, y'all got past number 9 already. We already talked about that. I got ahead of myself. Number 10, because the disciples would not have believed on Him more strongly. I done talked about that too. Hallelujah. Y'all got out easy, didn't you? Amen. I done preached my whole notes and all my outlines. Listen, there's no way, according to the Scripture, that Jesus ever made or drank alcoholic wine. Never did. Amen? It contradicts Scripture. It contradicts His character. It contradicts who He was. And the Bible says there in John chapter number 2, when He turned the water into wine, hey, listen, that it brought glory, it manifested His glory, and the disciples believed on Him even stronger than what they had before. And so there's no way, according to the Scriptures, that Jesus drank alcoholic wine. Everywhere that we've looked at tonight in Scripture, it talks about the effects of the alcoholic wine. The woes, the sorrows, the contentions, the babblings, and all the problems that goes along with that. And some people say, well, a little bit is okay. Y'all ever heard that? A little bit is okay. The Bible says wine is a mocker, and whosoever is deceived thereby, it's a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby. Deception starts with just a little. Amen? Y'all with me?
Amen.
Y'all agree with that? Deception starts with just a little. It don't take a whole lot for you to be deceived. Amen? You don't have to have a case of it sitting out here to be deceived and think, man, I can handle this. All it takes is a little bit to get you started. Amen? Now, I'm going to go on record and say this tonight. You do not have to agree with me. All right? I'm not telling you that. I still believe in soul liberty. Amen? I believe that everybody has an option to believe. You have a conscience of your own. Amen. And God has to deal with you as He dealt with me. I do not have NyQuil in my house. Now, that's just me. Just hold on. Let me explain to you why. It's 40% alcohol. It don't take a whole lot to get you deceived. What happens when you drink that stuff? I know y'all drunk it because I've drunk it all my life. You drink that stuff and you feel warm inside. It's the alcohol. It inflames you. If you drunk enough of that stuff, I know it'll knock you out and make you sleepy because it's depressing. But if you drunk enough of it, then you get hooked on it. Amen? And I'm not saying that people get hooked on alcohol. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. People are going to get hooked on NyQuil. It's 40% alcohol. In my conviction, I don't have anything in my cabinets that has alcohol in it. It don't take but just a little to get you over the edge. It's deceptive. Amen? Now, my wife, she makes some Usnea, which is an all-natural herb that we use to fight infections with. She makes echinacea and stuff like that that helps fight colds. It's all natural. Now, in studying that stuff, if you want to make it, they make these kits where you can make it, and they tell you to use alcohol. I said, honey, do some more studying because I'm not going to the ABC store to get you no alcohol. Okay? Now, listen, some of you are thinking, well, that's kind of funny. Well, it's talking about holy character. What would it be like if the pastor walked out of the ABC store? Amen? What would they think of me? Amen? The character, we have to have holy character, holy appearance, and holy in our speech. Amen? Jesus set the example, the Bible says, for us. And so, listen, I told her, I said, honey, I'm not going to the ABC store to get you no alcohol. I said, you're going to have to do something different. Or either just not make it. Well, she got to doing some studying and found out that she could use glycerin, which is non-alcohol. And she could use it, and it does the same thing as it would if it had the alcohol. And the only thing the alcohol does is make it do its processing quicker. Processes quicker. And you don't even use the alcohol that's in it. But they want you to use it. So what they were trying to do was to get the preacher to go to the ABC store. That's what they're trying to do. And it didn't happen. Amen. I ain't doing it. Hey, all it takes is just a little bit. They say a little wine for the stomach's sake. It's not alcoholic wine. It's juice. All right? Because all it takes is a little bit to get you deceived. My Jesus, my Lord, never contradicted the Scriptures, and He never was a wine bibber. He never was a wine drinker. When it talks about alcoholic wine. I hope these things helped you tonight. I hope these verses of Scripture helped you. If somebody asked you, did Jesus drink wine? Well, didn't Jesus drink wine at the marriage? I hear that mess all the time. And no, Jesus didn't drink wine. Well, the Bible says He did. You're just simple. You don't understand the Scripture. Now, the Bible does say that the natural man is not going to understand the things of God. Amen. Until they have the Holy Ghost on the inside, they're not going to understand all that. But listen, my Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, Paul says, I have you not be ignorant, brethren. Amen? And we're not to be ignorant of the Scriptures. My Lord wasn't a drinker. He wasn't a boozer and He wasn't a loser. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
Amen. What He did, He done to bring glory to Himself and to seek and to save that which was lost, not to destroy, but to fulfill the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hope it was a help to you tonight. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for the privilege, God, You've given us tonight to be in Your house. I thank You, Lord, for the truth of Your Word. Lord, I thank You tonight that we can gather around Your Word. And Lord, we can study the Scriptures. And Lord, all the heresy, all the false teachings and false doctrine that we hear in our day. Lord, we can come tonight and sit down and gather around Your Word and, Father, find the truth. Lord, I want to say that I thank You, Lord, tonight for that. I rejoice in that tonight, knowing, dear Father, I have a copy of the precious Word of God. I carry with me, Lord, the truth. Lord, I'm not bound by some false religion. Lord, I'm not bound by some lies that somebody's told. I'm not living some false life. Dear God, tonight we rejoice that we know You. Father, we're not bound by some false religion or some false doctrine, dear God, but we have liberty, Father, that we can worship You in spirit and in truth. I thank You, Lord, for that. Well, what a privilege, God, it is tonight, Lord, just to call on Your name and, Lord, to study Your Word and know, dear Father, the truth. Nevertheless, what saith the Scriptures? I thank You, Lord, for truth tonight. Now, bless each one as we go our separate ways tonight. Be with those that are sick. Be with my daughter tonight. Touch her and help her. Father, we'll praise You and we'll thank You for what's accomplished. In Jesus' loving name we pray. Amen and amen.